Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, going across Africa with Voice of Hope Radio, coming out of Lusaka, Zambia. And today we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 18 as part of our series on spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look at this unusual chapter of the Bible, give us light, give us hope, help us to learn what you want us to learn. This time, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are, looking at Revelation 18, the fall of Babylon. And it's a very scary chapter in some ways. This is talking about a Babylonian world system, which is very commercial. It's very wealthy, and it's very opposed to God. It's a world of infinite luxury and zero spirituality. And here we are, we're looking at the battle between God and Mammon, Judas and Jesus. Are you going for money or are you going for God? And this is a great tension in the end times. In the end times, it will be very, very wealthy. There'll be global trade. We see that the ships and the merchants are going back and forth across the earth. And this city is burned in 1 hour and they grieve the loss of all this great wealth lost in 1 hour. So Babylon's very rich. It is a servant of Mammon. It's a servant of money. Everyone's doing business in Babylon. And so they're hustling and they're making money here, but they're living the wild life. There's sex, drugs, and rock and roll in Babylon. It's called the wine of her immorality. Everyone is carnal and greedy, but they're rich and they're living in vast luxury. So here it is, God and Mammon. Now, if you worship Mammon, if you take the mark of the beast, if you worship the image of the beast, what happens? You become fantastically wealthy, but you lose your soul. What does a profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So Babylon is soulless. It's anti-God. It's anti anything that's spiritual and holy and good. In this wicked Babylon is the blood of the saints, the blood of the prophets, the blood of the apostles, the blood of all that are holy that have lived upon the earth. This is due to this worship of money and godlessness and wickedness in this vast city of Babylon. And the other extreme are the simple living people, the saints and the prophets and the people that have wandered around, as Hebrews 11 says, living in holes in the ground. Because in this time, the Christians will be wandering the earth. In fact, by this time, they've been raptured. But before this, during the Babylonian system, they will be without any money. They'll be unable to buy or sell. And they will be excluded from the Babylonian world system. They will be cast out because they do not have the mark of the beast and they do not worship his image. And so they will not be participating in the luxuries of this world. It says here, let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues, for her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. You see, we're to come out of the Babylonian system. We're to come out of the love of money and luxury and wine and goods. We're to come out of the love of Rolex watches and Mercedes Benzes and gold crowns and big titles. We're to come out of all that nonsense and worship Jesus. Now, we're going to have a look at the whole chapter. I'm going to read it through. And then we're going to go line by line. And we're going to find out what God's saying about the great temptations that come upon us as believers because of the great power of Babylon, but what God does to this city, the judgments he throws down on it. It is absolute. This is a spiritual system of temptation, a spiritual system of godlessness, this
devoured souls through the centuries, and God's going to punish but a lot. Let's look at Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. But I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. And the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep. And cargoes of horses, and chariots, and slaves, and human lives. And the fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city! She who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste, that every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance, and they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer, and no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer, and the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets, of saints, and of all who have been slain in the earth. So this is a long chapter. And in it, angels are making declarations about this hideous city of Babylon. And the first angel that comes down, he is so immense that he lights up the whole earth. He's full of light and power, and he comes down to heaven, and as he comes down, the whole earth is illumined. It's like this great meteor streaking down from heaven, and he illumines the whole earth. And then there's a second one making declarations and saying to the people, the Christians, come out of her wickedness. And that's speaking to the church now before the rapture. Come out of her. Do not be in all this luxury and all this worldliness. And then a third one seems to come in, or maybe it's the second one again, saying, rejoice over her, O heaven and earth, and saying to the saints that this system of luxury and barter and trade that has destroyed Christian soul after Christian soul, rejoice over her for her destruction that comes in 1 hour, and it completely wipes out Babylon. Babylon is so wiped out, it's like throwing a rock, a huge rock, into the ocean, and it sinks down and it never comes up again. That's what happens to this Babylon, this mystery Babylon. It's thrown down, and the sea is the nations and the peoples and all the wickedness and chaos of the earth. It's thrown down, and it is never to rise again. This is the existential end. This is the finish of that city. It is done whatsoever. And so this chapter is a series of prophetic declarations made by angels over this city. And God speaks in advance about what's going to happen to the cities and nations and systems of this world. And this system that looked like it could never be defeated, it was so luxurious. And everyone was in love with the city because they went there and they got rich. They'd bring their cargoes there and they would get rich. And it deceived everyone. And it had some sort of sorcery. It had some sort of witchcraft with the following of Mammon. And this witchcraft deluded people, and they were sucked into it, and they just went to this big city, and it was like they were suddenly drunk with wine. They were suddenly lost control of their morals, lost control of their common sense, lost control of any decency that they had, walked away from Christ and into the world. And many, many people today are walking away from Christ and into the world. And it says in verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain in the earth. So let's look at that in a literal sense for a second. Obviously, there is no one city, physical city on the earth, in which there was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on the earth, because people have been slain in Jerusalem, Constantinople, Rome, Beijing, New York, wherever. This is a mystical city, which is a contrast to the New Jerusalem, which comes down as a bride. So this one is a harlot city, and the New Jerusalem is a bride city. So this city of Babylon, is the city of the world. It's the city of evil. It's the city of the rejection of God, of secularism, and of a commerce that gobbles people up. And if you've ever been in a place that's very commercial and very corrupt, and where everyone's doing bad deeds and wicked deeds, and everyone's sliding money under the table to somewhere else, and people are getting murdered over money, and there's contracts on this and there's contracts on that, you'll know what it's like to be in the midst of Babylon. And Daniel was in the midst of Babylon, and it was a very treacherous place. If you remember the stories of all the satraps and officials who were always trying to get Daniel because he was better than them, and they get him thrown into the lion's den, and the lions don't touch Babylon. But later they throw all these terrible politicians and satraps and bureaucrats down there, and the lions eat them before they even get to the bottom of the lion's den. And so this is the world with a capital W. It's the wicked world, the sensuous world, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and all the sensual luxuries of the world. And they're all listed out in the middle of the chapter: gold, silver, citron wood, and even the bodies and souls of men and women, human lives. And so people are being traded. People are being traded for sex. There's huge human trafficking going on in this thing, and even the souls of people, it's being sucked, the life is being sucked out of them. They're becoming zombies, they're becoming financial zombies, getting into the system, and the system demands their soul. They go to work there, they go to work in Babylon, and they go up to the 15th floor and they look out the window and they feel proud, but they're working 12-hour, 15-hour days, got to do what the boss says, run here, run there, and they lose their souls, they lose all sense of who they are. They're just a corporate executive in a meaningless corporation in a meaningless system. And there's a lot of people like that over here in America who are trapped in meaningless jobs, sitting in front of computers, doing work that pays well, but which means nothing in the eyes of God. And you know, money doesn't mean much to God. Here, the city that has all the wealth and luxury in the world, God destroys it. He kills all this wealth. He just lays the city waste, kills all the people in it, and destroys an enormous amount of wealth. And all the merchants are going, oh, look at all that money destroyed, all that wealth destroyed. God doesn't care. God doesn't think like a merchant. God cares about human souls. He cares about you more than he cares about money. You're worth more than $1 billion to God. If the devil came to God and said, here's $1 billion, give me Susan or George or Kofi or whatever, God would throw the $1 billion back at the devil and say, keep your filthy money. Jesus calls it filthy lucre. God will not take all the money in the world for even one human soul. To God, you're eternal. You're worth far more than gold or silver or citron wood. You're worth more than any corporation on the face of this earth. You're worth more than all the money that Bill Gates owns or Warren Buffett has or some sheikh has in the Middle East. All these people have got their money, but most of them don't have Jesus. They are lost. They are worshipping money. They're worshipping luxury. They like their big yachts. They like the supermodels that they flaunt around. But they're dead inside. And God doesn't want you to be dead inside. He wants you to be saved. And that's why it says over here, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. When you get inside of the corruption, when you get inside of the wicked systems, you have to run away and flee. There's times when I've left a political position in Australia, a small position, but I was being asked to lie and cheat and do dishonest things, and so I left that position. There's times when friends of mine have left jobs which were asking them to keep a separate set of books or to sell pornography or do things that were evil. You cannot participate in the luxury of this world if it's taking you in a direction that's away from Jesus Christ. Even if you're in the military, and in the military they're asking you to accept bribes and hand them out and to extort people and to stand over someone and get money from them, you cannot do that. You would have to resign from the military and go and do something honest. It's better to be a farmer growing rice or bananas than to be someone who is dishonest and crooked and who's going to be judged with all the sins of Babylon. You see, if you become part of the Babylon system, if you become part of corporate system, whereby you are dragged into sinful activities, you're asked to go to the bar and hang out with the strippers and drink with the rich people and behave like someone who knows nothing of God. If you're being sucked into that, then you have to run away because your soul is in danger. It's in mortal danger. And it says that you will have the plagues that come on Babylon. Once you step out of the safe zone, once you step out of the light, once you head into the darkness, once you step out of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the devil, and you become like Judas, taking 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ. And we know what happened to Judas. He's called the son of perdition because he was a pilferer, because he got caught up in corruption and dishonesty. And that 30 pieces of silver doomed his soul. And even when he gave it back, he was still doomed. And he went out and hung himself very clumsily. So he decapitated himself and all his innards spilled out, as it says in the book of Acts. He came to a gruesome end, and Babylon has its judgments, and we see this even on a small scale. People go invest in some get-rich-quick scheme, and it's fancy, and it looks good, and the first few people in get rich, but then the Christians come in, and they get scammed, and they get taken for a ride, and everyone laughs at the gullible Christians who were taken by the con artist, because the Christians went off to enjoy a little bit of Babylon. Oh, I can make some money quickly. I'll use it for the church, is always the excuse. Or I'll buy a house where we can have Bible studies. I've heard so many excuses. And they go off and they get conned and they lose all their money and they come trudging back and they say, sorry, Pastor, you warned me. You warned me about that and I got trapped and I got taken down and that was dumb of me. You warned me that they were crooks. And some people, they keep going after the get-rich-quick schemes. Do not do that. Do not seek the luxuries of this world. Seek the character of Christ. If God gives you some luxury, that's terrific. By all means, rejoice if the Lord provides you with those things. But don't covet them. Don't make them the sense of your importance in your life. If you have a nice car, you just have a nice car, use it for the Lord. Don't say you're more important than the person with the motorbike. Don't be attached to your car and say, oh, I'm better than the person with the motorbike. I'm better than the person who's walking along. I'm better with the person with the buffalo. You've got the nice car, great. Praise God and use it for the kingdom of God. Use it to advance your ministry or your work. There's nothing wrong with owning something nice. But if it makes you proud, if that's the source of your value, not the cross, then you're starting to slide towards Babylon. Your value comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. Your value comes from the fact that you're saved and you're sanctified, you're going to be glorified, and you'll rule and reign with ever with Jesus if you have a pure heart. So God wants you to have a pure heart. He wants you to come out of Babylon and not be unequally yoked. And there's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because the Corinth was also a big trading city. A lot of trade going on there, people coming in and out all the time. It was a port city, and they would pull in and out. And so Paul warns them against this. He warns them about unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 to 18. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, someone will say to you that they want to be your daddy, they want to be your sugar daddy, they want to give you lots of money and make you famous. But your heavenly Father is your true Father, and you have to walk out from all the flattery of the world. You cannot be yoked unequally with an unbeliever. You can't marry someone who's worshipping the idol. You can't worship somebody that's from a completely other religion, because their body is full of demons. They've served the idols, they've served witchcraft and voodoo and juju, and their body is full of demons. And if you marry that person, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but they're a shrine of demons. And the two cannot come together. That's why you cannot be a partner with a non-Christian, especially a non-Christian who has a background in the occult. You simply cannot do that. You must walk with God, and you must have, if a man and a woman should both be temples of the Holy Spirit. They should both have Christ in them. You can't have someone who has Christ in them married to someone who has demons in them. That's conflict. That's going to go wrong. It's going to mess everything up. So you should never marry someone who is not full on for Jesus. But there's something deeper here. It says, come out from all the wickedness and God will be your Father. God will be the one that takes care of you. He will be your Father. You will be his children. Don't touch anything unclean. Come out and be separate. Do not be a part of secret societies. Don't go somewhere where you've got to make a sacrifice or do some ceremony and then you'll be in with them and then you'll get the money, then you'll get the deal. No, don't do that at all. Don't become part of that nonsense in any way, shape, or form. So you have to be separate. You're to be righteous even if the world is unrighteous. And in the end times, in Revelation 18, the Christians will be very righteous and the world will be very unrighteous. So those that worship the beast and take the mark of the beast, they will be completely lawless people. They'll be full of immorality and cruelty, but they will be rich and they'll be powerful. And people will wonder, why do these rich people, why can they sin so much and get away with it? They don't get away with it. There is a final judgment and they're all caught up in it and they are utterly and completely destroyed. And the Babylonian system of wealth and wickedness goes down the tubes. It is thrown into the ocean. It is thrown like a stone, never to rise again. So after Babylon is judged, the wicked will never be wealthy again. The wicked will be cast down. Their wealth will go with them. And Jesus will come back. We will destroy Babylon. And he will establish a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And the rewards are heavenly rewards. And all the commercial world, the things that people have hankered after, It will be gone forever. And so you need to decide what you're going to be part of. Are you going to be part of the old, wicked, corrupt Babylon? Or are you going to be part of the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven? Are you going to be part of the harlot? Or are you going to be part of the bride of Christ, which is the church? Are you going to stick with the people of God and with the prophets and the saints and the apostles and receive their honor and a white robe in heaven? Or are you going to take the mark of the beast and run after money and luxury and eventually end up in torment and be judged with Babylon? You must separate yourself from the luxury world system that wants your soul, that wants you enslaved to it, that wants you to reject Christ and all the commandments of Christ and go after all the mad women, mad money, mad drugs, mad alcohol, mad this, mad that. You're not to go after the world and all its luxury. You are to go after love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. You're going to go after holiness. And when you do that, you will find your life has meaning. The people that chase after the world, they gradually lose a sense of meaning in life. They become bored. They want new entertainment and new entertainment and new entertainment. You won't need that if you're in Jesus. You won't be bored. You'll be okay because you'll have a glorious sense of the presence of God wherever you go. Your prayers will be answered. The saints will be around you at all times. The angels will be around you all times. You'll enjoy the presence of God in worship. And you will find yourself drawn up into a fellowship with heaven that's greater than anything the world can provide. The meaning and the glory of the gospel will be yours. The fruits of Christ and the promise of God will be yours. And you'll have eternity in heaven with God. And you'll rule and reign with Christ here on earth. So it's worth it. You will keep your soul. You will not lose your soul. You won't end up like Judas and after Demas, after the Naaman's servant, no, sorry, Elisha's servant, Gehazi, who went after and said, give me some clothes, and got some clothes, and Naaman's leprosy clung to him. There's always a judgment. And when you go away from God and you go to the world and the world dazzles you, if you've done that, if you've gone out into the world and you've left Christ and you know you need to get back to God, you know you've gone a long way from Jesus. Turn around now. Come out from the world. Come out from all the luxury. Come out from all the pride that's got into your heart and bow your knee before God and say, I repent. I need to get back with God. This is a mess. The world's a bad place and I shouldn't be part of it. So don't be part of corruption. Don't be part of this world. Follow Jesus. Don't be part of Babylon. Be part of the heavenly Jerusalem. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all.
Hi. That was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.